You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
So it's all for play for still.
I think so. Do you want to bet against us?
Hi, villains, and welcome to For the Love of Paul McGrath podcast with a special breaking transfer news special. Well, not really breaking. We're about 11 hours behind it, I think, Paddy. 10 hours behind it at this stage. But we got a morning villains eyes emoji today from the AVFC Twitter account. And who was there to greet us this morning? Only Mr. Ross Barkley holding a jersey. Paddy, was that a nice thing to wake up to this morning?
It was. Well, I was well awake at that stage. But yeah, it was nice to get a bit of breaking news so early in the day. And for it, like, I know we discussed it last week and we both chose Barkley over Hudson-Odoi, wasn't it?
Yeah, Loftus-Cheek. The other double barrel guy.
Yeah. We're not used to double barrel names here in Ireland. I was delighted. Obviously, very popular signing with everybody by the sounds of it. So, looking forward to seeing him getting involved and seeing how he does. And most of all, where he fits in and who misses out, because it's looking like it's going to be our Connor that misses out. But, you know, so be it. If it's for the better of the team, that'll do me.
Well, that's an interesting one, Paddy. I'm going to come back to that in a moment because reason being, I don't have the tweet that I want to reference up here in front of me because I'm 100% consummate professional. but it's great. Like, as I say, it was great to see him there today. It looked like he got stuck in straight away, you know, there was pictures of him out training and stuff like that. And looked like something that had been in the offing for quite a while. He mentioned in his interview that he had spoken to Tammy Abraham. I love this. I cut this little excerpt out of the interview he did with Villa TV and I put it up again because he name checks Tammy, which, number one, automatically gives him idol status amongst Aston Villa fans, the fact that he mentioned Tammy's name, because everybody wants Tammy back. And secondly, he said that Tammy said the fans were amazing and it's a bit of a shame that he's not going to get to play in front of the fans and so on. But yeah, he seems to have hit all the right notes so far. And he seems like a focused young man, a man of few words. I thought that the interviews didn't really suit him. Didn't look as comfortable in front of the camera as he could, but I don't really care. As he said, he does the talking with his feet in that interview and, you know, I'm hoping that he comes in here and single-handedly drags us into games and wins us games on his own. What are you kind of, you mentioned there about Conor Hoare and Paddy. What are you expecting from Ross Barkley? And why do you think that it's Conor's position he's going to take?
The way I see it panning out is that he will replace Conor in his current position, and will probably look at, when we haven't got the ball, himself and Dougie being more defensive. And then, you know, he describes himself as a box-to-box midfielder. When we have the ball, he's capable of bombing on and helping and being able to get back into that position. So we might kind of see a more 4-2-3-1 than a 4-3-3. That's just the way I looked at it today and tried to, you know, weigh up what we have. Especially playing against the likes of Liverpool, just to be a little bit more defensive. But sure, who are we to call that? But that's just how I see it happening. He's brought in to shore up that midfield to make us even harder to break down. You know, he's got the defence right. I think this will add that little bit of extra steel to the midfield. And, you know, he'll bring some creativity. He'll bring goals as well. Not a whole pile of them, but he will get a few.
You see, yeah, I think that this isn't look. Let's be honest. It is a case of he has to replace somebody. All right, we know that he has to replace somebody, and it could be Conor. But I think it's going to be a horses for courses type midfield that we have, because when you look at some of the things he does well, first of all, he's going to be the tallest midfielder we have at 6'2".
Yeah.
I would never have put 6'2 on him in a million years. I would never have put 6'2 on him.
Except when you saw him hugging Jack today.
That's exactly what I was going to. Jack had to nearly get up on his tippy toes to throw the arms around him. But so that's going to be good from that point of view. He does an awful lot more defensive kind of duties than you think. You know, a lot of he wins an awful lot of balls on the ground. He's got that look. Here we go. Here's a stereotype for everybody. He's got that kind of that bullish scouser kind of mentality about him. You know, that he'll get back in a temper and win the ball back, which is fantastic to see. You know, reminiscent of, and I know they're not the same players, but Wayne Rooney used to do that. If he lost the ball in attack, he'd hair back after his man. Now, it might be the prettiest tackle in the world that he would put in, but at least he'd make the effort. He wouldn't throw his hands up in the air and lament the fact that he had lost the ball. But, you know, Ross Barkley is somebody that does that. And I think we'll see more of that. It's probably something as well that fans of the team that he's playing for at any given time, whether it be Arsenal or whether it be Everton, sorry, or Chelsea, would say that a bit more about him. And I think we'll see that more. I think he'd probably relish that in the Villa midfield, because he's going to need to do it. As you mentioned, he's probably not going to have that goal threat of Conor Hoare, because, you know, statistically, Conor is our highest goal scorer since, you know, in this current team at the moment.
Yeah.
So we're going to miss that. But looking at the stuff that Smarter Scout, and this is what I was trying to bring up here, because the guys in Smarter Scout are very good to me. They send me on a lot of information, and they're just top guys. You know, that if anybody's out there and you're interested in stuff like that, statistical comparisons, I'm not paid by these guys at all. I just really like the cut of their jib. I'm signed up as a member, and I think it's something like £5 or £7 a month. I get a lot out of it anyway. You guys might too. I'm just giving them a plug because they've been really good to me, sending me the information I need so that my stupid fingers don't type in the wrong things when I'm looking for stuff. But fair play to them. But like, basically, the statistical analysis they put up on Twitter today shows that the kind of the work he does is more, it's more of a link, it's more link up play essentially. You know, John McGinn doesn't do that kind of link up play. He's more of a terrier, runs, passes the ball towards goal. But Ross Barkley is more of a continuity player than you would think, and he wins and recovers the ball and probably dribbles it more than you would think as well. But I'm really interested to see what he does. And as I say, it's his height as well that's kind of really drawing me towards him, because it's something I wanted in midfield. You know, when we spoke about this about 3 weeks ago, or 4 weeks ago, I said, want a bit of grunt in midfield, a bit more height. And I really have no idea how he's going to pan out in this team, but I'm really excited to see how he does and see what way he goes, because isn't that often that Villa can entice an England international in his prime. you know, to come.
That's, I made the comparison with himself and Loftus-Cheek, and I didn't realise how old they were, because I just assumed he was a lot older than Loftus-Cheek, but Loftus-Cheek is only a year younger than him. So, like, we're buying a guy with 33 England caps. It's fantastic, you know, considering he's only 26. You know, and a wealth of experience behind him. He's, you know, 50-odd games for Chelsea in the Premier League and 150 for Everton. I think that's, you know, great experience to be bringing, to be calling on. You know, obviously they're giving him the number 20 short, which he apparently asked for. So it makes him happy. I'll just throw you back, because I didn't realise how long it was since he was on the scene, to a tweet that was brought to my attention today from the 18th of October, 2014. What a player Ross Barkley is. Easily the best player we've played against this season, in my opinion. He got everything in his locker. And that tweet was by Jack Grealish in 2014. Nuts, isn't it?
Brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. It begs the question as well, Paddy. How pivotal is Jack Grealish signing that 5-year deal for Villa in the greater scheme of things? We mentioned it. I'm sure we've mentioned it before, but how pivotal is it in attracting players? And I think this might be your answer. Ross name checks him as somebody he's been very friendly with throughout the years.
Yeah, and Mings as well, and Tom Heaton, he name checked today.
Yeah.
You know, the all of the sound bites coming out of the players and everything that's going on is all positive. Even to see one of the owners there on Monday night was fantastic. You know, bear in mind that it's probably difficult to get in and out of the country. I don't know where he's based, but it's great to see. And everyone is positive, and everyone is talking about the long-term plan. And, you know, I don't want to put a spanner in the works here, but I'm not a big fan of loan players. Mm-hmm. You know, I was fine with it when we were in the championship, bringing in the likes of Tammy to get us, you know, over the line, which he did, in fairness to him. But I just hate to see him be ever present for us this season and then be back to square one looking for a similar type player next season. So I hope they have an option to buy after this season is finished. I know the financial fair play is still up in the air, and everybody seems to be pushing the transfers further down the line, like we did with Samatta ourselves. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering, is that something to do with financial fair play, and is that why it's an initial loan and not a signing? Because everyone will want to see the money coming in next year when financial fair play is in play, as opposed to this year. But that's the only negative from my point of view. I'm absolutely delighted to have him in there and looking forward to seeing him. Don't think he can play tomorrow. I think we established that he scored on in the last game, so he's cup tied. So I presume his first game will be Sunday, either starting or on the bench.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, is it reading the stars, Paddy, that Ross Barkley gets sprung from the bench? We start the midfield three as we had it. Barkley gets sprung from the bench, 20 minutes to go. It's nil all. And he pops one in the top corner against his former... against the old nemesis. Ross Barkley comes back to haunt his Scouse brethren, except on the other side of, what is it, Kirby Park or whatever it's called, is it? Over there, but
Park.
Which one is it?
Stanley Park.
Yeah, I don't know where I got Kirby Park from. So that'd be quite something. That'd be up there, I think, with Emi Martinez saving the penalty on his debut. Ross Barkley comes on and pings one in the top corner on his debut. We'll run out of statues at this rate, I think, if our new signings keep on doing stuff like that. But then again, we'll have Bertrand Traore as well inside there. So I'd imagine he'll see game time at the weekend, provided he's fit. And, you know, as you said, Ross Barkley can't start tomorrow, so he gets him a couple of days training in for the weekend. And I suppose that brings us nicely on to tomorrow night. I don't think we're going to see, I don't think we're going to see anyone, really. Maybe we might see Mings. Maybe we might see, I can't see. Maybe we might see Martinez and goals. Although I doubt it. They played steer the last day. So it's really going to be, Who's
I think really? I think we'll see a similar team to what played the last Carabao Cup game.
Yeah, I think it's a smart move.
Yeah, albeit it won't be a pushover. Like they did turn over Wolves, didn't they? You know, so you've got to be mindful of that. They have had a decent run of games. They've had 4 or 5 wins already in the Championship, so they won't be a pushover by any means. You know, I don't claim to know too much about them and how they're set up. They've a couple of new signings in there, so you know, I think it'll be a good game. I think it'll be a good watch. You know, Stephen Fletcher, James McLean, probably, and John Obi Mikel, of course, is in there. So, and then of
is
course,
Stephen Fletcher playing with them now.
Stephen Fletcher, yeah. And then, of course, the homecoming for James Chester, which unfortunately won't have any fans there to see it.
Yeah. Dan Bardell was saying that's what's going to catch him right in the solar plexus when he sees James Chester walk out without a Villa jersey on. And yeah, it's I suppose it is going to be one of those ones for him. But yeah, as I said, the man literally gave his career for Aston Villa, whether he wanted to or not.
Absolutely. I challenge anybody to have a bad word to say about him from a Villa point of view.
Yeah. And even though that interview, I think it was with the, I can't remember, it was with Claret and Blue or it was the 1874 pod. He gave a really, really great interview. I think it was the interview he did with, it was Dan Bardell, so it was 1874. You know, he spoke so well about the club as well. And that was in a time of transition where I think he might have even been gone at that stage. Or maybe he knew that he was probably out the door at that stage. But it was a fantastic interview. He just seems like a really nice man. You can see why he's captained Wales before. You know, you can see why he's been so revered at any of the clubs he was held so highly at United. They didn't want to lose him. They just didn't have a spot for him. And he ended up moving on, you know. Yeah. But, great guy. And
there's no doubt he's a good guy. I've said it many a time. He's a big hero in our house because when my son was mascot against the Blues... he walked out with Chester and he was the captain and really looked after him and there was no putting a foot wrong or anything. He talked him all the way through it, you know, and we've nothing but good memories of it for sure.
Yeah, and that's the way it should be. As I say, too often, you know, when clubs maybe cast aside people for the business of football, you know, can be seen as maybe a callous move. I think in this instance, while it would have been nice to give James Chester another contract and so on, I think they probably looked at it from the point of view that he didn't want to be fourth choice at this club. And that's fair as well, you know, when both, you know, you give a man his wish, I would imagine, you know, knowing what state his leg was in and his knee was in, probably wanted to do what he does best and loves doing it and play football. And you know, you just don't do that as a fourth or third choice in the Premier League in a Premier League team. And you know, he can go on and become a hero someplace else as well and still be fondly remembered here. Acrimonious breakup. Yeah. Whichever one is nice where both people agree in it and both people agree to still be friends with benefits, I don't know what you want to call it, that kind of a breakup. But no, fair play to him, as I say, and anything goes in the future we'll be looking on with great pleasure, provided he doesn't bang 2 in from corners against us tomorrow night. I prefer if he didn't do that. Anything else floating out there, Paddy? Did I miss anything? Is there anything else happening today? I don't think there is.
No, well, it looks like we've signed the young lad from Dundee United.
Oh, yes.
He's 16 years of age. His name escapes me now.
Kerr Smith.
Yeah. Can't tell you too much about him. He's 16 years of age. I'm sure he's one for the future and we won't be seeing him playing with the first team anytime soon. But, you know, I think we're doing a great job with the academy and bringing in decent players. So, it just seems to be all positive. I know we've got a really tough one at the weekend and nobody's expecting anything and we'll worry about that when it comes around, but we'll enjoy it for now.
Yeah, exactly. That the academy seems to be, you know, notching up well thought after player. That Polish goalkeeper, I'm not even going to try and pronounce it. I think it's Zyk or something like that. I don't know what his name is. Winston Bogard's nephew came over from Feyenoord or PSV, can't remember which one it was, but Winston Bogard's nephew scored for the 18s last weekend. And now this guy that Mickey Mellon seems to think was worthy of getting some game time at 15 years of age in a preseason friendly against Sheffield United. So, look, I'll take that, even though it is above in the Scottish League and so on, to trust him up against Billy Sharp and Callum Robinson, who was still playing, I think was playing with Sheffield United at that stage. Yeah, that's a big piece for him. And, let's see what good things come from it, because apparently he was well sought after by a lot of the top teams in England. So without anointing him as the new McGrath just yet, we'll give him time to breathe. But it's exciting to have these players of good repute joining the club, even in the academy side of things, because anything we sign now could save us millions in the future.
That's the hope, isn't it?
That is exactly it. Exactly. Yeah. I think we'll leave it at that, Paddy. Nice short and shrift one. As I say, best of luck to Ross Barkley. He's back in the fold he's with us for the first time, should I say. And hopefully he'll come into the fold against Liverpool at the weekend. An exciting transfer. Yes, it was a loan, but England internationals don't come around too often, as I say, in that guy's. And hopefully he just goes out there and tears it up, plays his way into the national team alongside Jack, gets into the European squad, and decides that he's fallen in love with Dean Smith and wants to sign here on a 5-year contract. Because if he plays well for us, I don't see it. If he plays well for us, I don't know, is there a position for him in Chelsea when he goes back, considering they're still going to most likely open the checkbook again next year. Come over to us here in Villa. We'll give you a warm welcome, provided that you play well. Okay. Yeah. There's just that small caveat in at the end.
I have no doubt it's going to be a success. So we're going to stay positive for now.
Absolutely.
We'll worry about the negativity when we head into our two free hits against Liverpool and Leicester. After getting 6 points on the board, we've got two tough ones ahead. So let's enjoy the positives while we can.
Yeah, let's pick up a scalp. I'd like to see us pick up a scalp over the next Leicester, Spurs, I think is what it is. So pick up a scalp against one of those three teams. Show the upper echelons that we mean business, and try and stamp our authority on where we're going to finish, as opposed to have to hope that other teams perform or don't pick up results against the top six. Let's stamp our authority on it right now. And finish up or continue on where we finished up last year, because we are one of the form teams in Europe, believe it or not. Since the start of July, we're one of the form teams in Europe. So,
haven't been beaten since Man U beat us after lockdown. So,
yeah, absolutely. It's a
winning is a habit, and long may it continue.
You said it. Absolutely. Absolutely. It's on my list of Santa Claus for this year. Continue to win. All right, guys. Thanks, everybody, so much for listening to the podcast. As myself and Paddy always say to each other, we just love coming on here, just chatting to each other about Villa. I'd do it every day if I could. It's one of the highlights of my day, just getting something off my chest, whether it be in a good way or a bad way, about Villa. And thanks ever so much for everybody for the great words that come across on Twitter and Facebook as well. Paddy, actually, there was a very funny one. Here in Ireland, after I was on the Villa View on Monday night, here in Ireland, there was a show that was put out. It's called Lodging with Lucy. So basically, there's a presenter called Lucy Kennedy, and she had Paul McGrath on it. Paul McGrath was talking to her. She was interviewing him. He was telling her about his life story and everything like that. And after that aired here in Ireland, I checked my Facebook. I checked the Facebook page for the podcast, and there was about 5 or 6 people had messaged saying you were so brave on TV tonight. And I was just after doing the Villa View, and I was going, did they call YouTube TV? Is that what's going on? And then it clicked at me. I was going, they think this is Paul McGrath's fucking Facebook page. So I just wrote back. I goes, thank you very much, UTV. And then I just left it at that. I didn't have the heart to say, this isn't Paul McGrath. But yeah, the wonders of social media. I did get a good laugh off that, actually, on Tuesday morning when I woke up. But thanks ever so much to everybody for listening to the podcast. As I say, you can find Paddy on at Villa Paddy. You can find me on at Love McGrath Pod. Keep liking, subscribing to the podcast itself. And if you know of anybody out there that might be interested in it, please let them know about it as well. Also, a little shameless plug as well for the AVFC Irish Lions, the jerseys that I was wearing on the Villa View as well, they're still for sale. If you like that stuff, find the AVFC Irish Lions on Twitter or on Facebook, and you can purchase the jersey from there. It's very reasonably priced. I think it's like 45 quid, including postage and packaging, and the sizes are true to fit. It's a super jersey, and all proceeds go to the Alzheimer's Society of Ireland, which was picked in conjunction, or well, not in conjunction, but in memory of Ron Smith, Dean Smith's father. So we wanted to do a little something for Alzheimer's and dementia sufferers here in Ireland on that behalf. So if anybody wants to get them, I know they're usually a hot commodity around Phillip Park as well. AVFC Irish Lions, give him a shout. Philip will get you guys sorted out. So thanks so much again, everybody, for listening. And we have a busy couple of days tomorrow, Thursday against Stoke and Sunday against Liverpool. And all that's left to say is up the Villa.
Up the Villa.
Network.